You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, Hi guys. And welcome back to Awkward Stage, the podcast with me, Alina.
And me, Nicole.
Woohoo! Guys, we have to be really honest.
We have a special episode.
We have the most amazing guest with us because this is her second time being with us because we tried to record this episode unsuccessfully.
Yes. Well, we thought it was really successful. We had a really good time. We did the entire episode and then we found out about some technical difficulties. So. Okay, so today we have the baddest bitch.
Right. Wait, was that the intro?
That bitch.
That bitch.
Yeah. You might know her from The Circle. She's an incredible creator. Savannah Palacios.
Hi.
Or Sav.
Doesn't matter.
That bitch, Sav. Also, she told us to say that.
Yes, we would never call a woman a bitch. That bitch. I wish someone would call me that bitch. Oh, that's
you
my dream.
You are that bitch.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, you're so nice.
Should we start this episode exactly the same as we started the other episode?
I think we're off script, guys.
Yeah. Actually, I have a different question this time. Different. I have a different question because we were just talking.
Accent's coming up.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Here we go. We were just talking off camera about the like assistants and job loads as, you know, influencers, and you are so good at your job. You're so good at creating content consistently. It looks great. You're so good at it. Like, Nicole and I are more like accidental influencers.
Yeah.
And we make like silly, stupid videos, but you make like beautiful content.
Oh my God. Thank you. I think my videos are silly and stupid also.
But like,
so
in a,
thank you.
But like in a beautiful way.
No, thank you.
But like ours looks like we like threw up a green screen, but it has like wrinkles in it.
Yeah.
And like I look like I shoot on an iPhone 6 because I just forget to clean my camera. So there is a difference.
Yeah. And we were talking about it, and a lot of people think it's like a day of the week and then you're good for the month. But it's like, I find it, even after all this time, so hard to schedule my freaking week, like to schedule the content, to have set hours in a day, and everybody does it differently. But like, I'm curious, how do you schedule your workload?
Honestly, I don't.
Okay.
I'm a mess. So it's okay. Really glad that it doesn't come off that way. So thank you. Cause I really needed that today. I woke up with like so much anxiety. I have so much work to do. If anyone's listening and you want to be an assistant.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Let me know. We were talking about, just like the need to have an assistant, especially when you do what we do. Mm-hmm. People think it's so easy to make content and that I just like, you know, wake up beautiful, which I mean, I do.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, you don't just wake up and produce content. You know, it takes a lot of hours of planning and then editing afterwards and just all of it, you know. So I don't know. I feel like I was an accidental influencer too, to be quite honest with you. I was in college and I was so broke. And I had nothing better to do than to take photos of myself. And one of my friends was like, you should take your Instagram more seriously. And I was like, I thought I did, bitch. And she was like, no, but like, you know, try to like actually, you know, plan out your feed and make it aesthetic and stuff. Because I was just posting photos of me and my college friends, you know, out at like a bar, at a concert, like at Outside Lands with the beer. I was like, hey, you know. And I thought that was content.
It was.
It was back then. Yeah. And then I remember one day she like made me put on a really cute outfit and she had me stand in my backyard in front of a hedge. Uh-huh. And I took my first planned Instagram Ooh. Photo. And then that's kind of how it started. Forever 21 reached out maybe like a month after that.
Really?
And wanted to give me like a box of free clothes for like 15 photos, which at the time seemed great. Right. Now I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. But, you know, I grinded it out like that for a while and somehow I'm still here.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
I know, I remember getting those messages when I like first started. I had like maybe like 2,000 followers. I'd get these messages being like, hey, for $500, will you make 10 TikToks?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh my gosh, should I do this?
Yeah,
but and it's 10 like, TikToks hey, babe. Is so much work.
Yeah, it's the like, hey babe, we have an amazing opportunity for you.
Yes. You do not want to turn this down.
Yeah, and sometimes the messages in the beginning were like, you get 20% off the entire store and you give us content.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, so I have to buy your product and market you guys?
I wasn't even considering buying your stuff. Like,
it's also like I never even wanted your stuff to begin with.
But at the very least, you got to give me the product that you want me to promote.
Or they're like, it's an opportunity for you to provide your following with a discount for our products.
And they're going to love this vibrator.
I got a message from or an email from some reality show, like a reality game show.
God, and was they, it the Circle?
I'm just kidding. No, but I actually did get reached out
did you?
To by the Circle.
You would be
yeah.
so good in that.
I said the same thing.
Yeah, I feel like you would actually kill it.
Okay, we need to get in because we talked about the Circle last time and I think I would have a mental breakdown. Wait, should we just get into that now? Because you said that you weren't allowed to see the outdoors.
No. I was in prison. That's not even a
Circle,
joke.
Circle prison.
The Circle prison. No, like you're confined to the apartment. You cannot leave unless you go for a smoke break. Suddenly I would smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, yeah. You're like,
I was like, actually, I'm a chain smoker. Have been for 20 years. Started when I was 6.
So you could go outside just to smoke cigarettes.
You could go to the roof to have a smoke break, yeah. But it was also filmed in Manchester, so it was raining the entire time. So even if you had the opportunity to go out, you couldn't. I remember there was this one day that I actually was having a mental breakdown. And I was like, I need to go outside. I need fresh air. Because you also can't open your windows or the sliding door. You can't. It's a door.
Be healthy.
But you cannot because you're in the Circle and they lock it. So I was like losing my shit.
You can't open your window.
Yeah. No, you have to smell your farts in its entirety. There's like no ventilation in there. It's awful.
Wow.
And so I was like having a mental breakdown. I needed to go outside. And they took me to our like free air balcony, which was a tiny, tiny balcony, maybe like from here to like this pole.
Oh God.
And it had bamboo going up like 7 or 8 feet. And so it was like open air, but you're like, you can't see anything. And so I was like, this is nice.
And you just would stand there.
I would stand there and
air.
Bliss, you know, luxury.
It's so crazy. Like, something crazy could happen in the world, which in this day and age, I mean, something crazy happens every week. And you come out of the Circle, like, depending on how long you stay in there, 2 weeks later, and you're like, wait, who's president? Or like, which country doesn't exist anymore?
Because you couldn't have your phone and you couldn't watch TV.
Couldn't have your phone, couldn't watch TV. There was like a dark day, one dark day given to the cast. I unfortunately was blocked before this dark day occurred. And a dark day is basically like a day that you don't film.
Oh.
So the cameras aren't rolling.
Mm-hmm. So as far as you know.
And the mics aren't on, so they say.
Oh my God.
But, you know, nothing you do that day is actually being filmed. You're not participating in anything. And so on that day, I believe they let them watch Netflix.
Oh.
But you still don't have your phone.
Oh, because you can't watch it because of copyright.
You can't watch it because they don't want you being normal. They want to they want to drive you crazy. And so the least amount of connection that you have with the outside world and with reality, the best they can manipulate you and you get you to
you're
going to
want to connect with the screen, like to use it just to connect with the other people in the Circle.
I think you're not wrong. I think a majority of it also boils up to like you being so frustrated, you just wanting to get through scenes. Yeah. And so them like kind of instigating that behavior and like making it so that you don't know what time it is, so that you don't know how long you've been filming for. And so you just, it's like a psychological warfare.
It sounds terrible.
It was awesome. Love it.
And it's the apartments is that the ones that we see on the show, right? Like they look exactly like, and that's, you're just in that place the entire time.
Except for quarantine. I was in quarantine for like a little over 2 weeks before being in the show's own quarantine period. So I was locked in another nearby hotel. They like separate everyone, so they put people in different hotels and different areas.
Could you go outside there?
You weren't supposed to.
Okay.
But I definitely did. I needed air. Like, yeah. And the hotel that they put me in was so small and dark and sad. It was also like in Manchester, right? Yeah. So it wasn't sunny there. I don't know if the sun ever shines in Manchester.
It's just like
a
gray sky, right? It's just gray always. That's why I actually see the blue sky. It's just clouds.
I don't think they know what the sun is out there. Like, I don't know. That's why all those Instagram girl feeds are always so gray in Manchester.
Yeah. So moody and like A24.
So it was like that in my apartment that I was staying in, and the window was maybe like this big. I remember opening up the window and sticking my head out of it, and it was just like raining on my face. I was like, this is nice. But I did step out for a second when I was there with my chaperone. They allow you to go on like a walk.
Your chaperone.
With my chaperone.
Stop.
So do you feel like you broke? Like, did they break your mental?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I live my life in front of a camera. I thought, oh my gosh, Circle is going to be easy. I applied for it because I was bored.
Yeah.
And I didn't, you know, all of us were stuck inside. So I was like, might as well be stuck inside a TV show.
Yep.
And yeah, did I get stuck?
Wow.
Wow.
Still grateful for it.
So do you feel like you acted like yourself, or do you feel like they created a monster, or do you feel like or do you feel like it was you or it wasn't you?
I definitely feel like I was 100% myself. Okay. Like, if someone tried me in real life, I may not scream at them through a TV screen, but I would definitely confront them, you know? And so I think on the show I was definitely myself, but they definitely like pushed me to have a reaction. Yeah. There was definite like producer driven conversations and things that they were saying and doing to every person of the cast just to make us act a little more dramatic, I think.
Yeah.
So it's not scripted. Everything I said was my own words and was how I reacted, but very like producer driven, a lot of that.
Watching it back, you know, the power of editing with like, I mean, a lot of times we hear it from reality TV where it's like, wow, like they really decide what story they're telling, what role they assign people. And like the editing makes, it doesn't matter what you say almost, like they're going to edit it in a way that now you are this person. Do you think like editing did you dirty, or was it pretty representative of your experience in the house?
Editing 1000% did me dirty. Okay. And I think at the time that the show was airing, there was a lot of like Black Lives Matter things going around. Mm-hmm. And so I think Netflix being conscious of their reputation, they definitely did things in the editing process to protect certain casts.
Uh-huh.
And I think at the end of the show, it made it so that certain people's stories weren't told the way they really happened.
Uh-huh.
And that's just the case with all of reality TV.
Right.
That's just not like a Circle thing or like a Netflix thing. That's like across the board. They absolutely knew where they wanted the story to go. They knew what they needed, and the producers did their job. They produced.
Yeah.
So kudos to them. And can't fool me next time.
Are you going back?
I don't know. I don't know if they can afford me now.
They definitely can't.
Ooh, no.
They definitely can't. No, it's the reality TV producers have a hard and kind of fucked up job.
Like, yes.
Eliana was saying that the producers of Dance Moms aren't allowed, like, they don't have children.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to get pregnant.
I don't
like,
think
have
producers
children.
Have hearts.
Right.
That's like a, and I mean that in the nicest way possible. I think if you are a producer, a TV show a reality TV show producer, there has to be like a sense of detachment. I don't want to compare them to doctors, but it's the only job that comes to mind right now. Like when you're a doctor and you have patients, you care for them,
yeah,
but you almost have to detach yourself like emotionally from them, because if something happens to them, then, you know, I mean, you got to move on with your life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think in the same sense, producers have to act like that, because at least the producers I've met, like you guys.
Yeah. Did you like form a relationship with any of them, or were you just like, stop watching me shower, I'm over you people?
I was very much like, don't look at me.
Yeah.
Don't look at me. I'm here because like I obviously want attention, and I obviously want to be on this show. But I was trying to keep it like very professional and like not get too chummy with them, because then I would allow myself to let my guard down, and I just didn't want that in that place. But I'm sure I could be friends with them in the real world, just not maybe when we're both doing our jobs.
Yeah. And when they can't like have a camera in your bathroom.
Yes, like watching me like undress.
Oh.
And then like accidentally panning the camera up.
No.
I'm like, no, stop. Yeah, there's 24-hour filming in the circle. So even when you're sleeping, the cameras are still rolling. You have a mic like next to your bed. There's a mic hanging above your shower.
There are no boundaries. There are no
zero boundaries, actually. That's you didn't hear it from me, but apparently there was someone on season one that was doing a little self-care in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And they they were all there.
Oh my.
I wonder if they turn the cameras off for that. Probably not though.
They should. Like,
they have to.
There's a lot of things they should do.
There's
that they
probably
don't do.
A lot of masturbation going on.
Unfortunately, in my room, there was none. So
no. Oh my God. That'd be so like scary with like cameras above you and mics. Like,
yeah, I couldn't.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I couldn't. There's no way that I could do that with just knowing, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's.
But someone didn't give a. They were like.
Yeah.
You know.
That's my biggest nightmare. Sometimes I walk around like the world or my apartment. I'm like, what if this was a show? Like, and like, what would I feel like if like I was in my own reality TV show, and I immediately feel overwhelmed and anxious?
Yeah. Yeah.
They'd be like, why is that girl taking another 20-minute nap?
Yeah.
Get that girl off
this
the couch.
This show is called procrastination.
No, to wake you up in the morning, there's no clocks or anything, so you don't have your phone. So to wake you up in the morning, they just turn all the lights on. And they're like, good morning, Angel. And you're just like, what the fuck is going on?
Did they let you get enough sleep?
No.
Of course not.
No, never.
No,
I think Tobbs... Because I'm good with, like, time. I don't really need a clock. I could look at the sun and be like, okay, it's around this time.
Yeah.
And the whole, like, 2 weeks that I was in quarantine before going in the show, I was looking at the sun just so I got, like, a good...
Oh, that's good.
Because you're in Manchester, so different part of the world.
Yeah. Survival skills.
And so I was, like, you know, trying to figure it out. I know one day I went to bed at, like, 2 a.m. and they woke me up at, like, 6 to get ready and be camera ready by 7:30. And we were... rolling on by 8.
Wow. But then
and you're doing all your own hair and makeup. And,
oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Or you're not doing it. Depends on what you're doing in your what you're doing in your room, or if you have time. So
was it in your contract, like, the amount of nudity they could show, like the
no,
there was nothing?
It was promised to us that any shots that they got of us that were explicit were gonna be like not used, deleted, all of that. I mean, how true that is, I don't know.
But
I actually don't want to know.
Yeah. And also, like, someone has to delete.
Yes.
And, like, someone has to
to find the footage in order to not use it. So the problem, the deed is already done.
Right.
Someone already
the
saw.
The footage is somewhere.
The goodies, you know? And not, and for free, which is, I mean, they have the best jobs. I don't know.
Yeah.
Depends on who you are.
Or the worst if you're in the masturbation room.
I don't know. I mean, again, that's like something I don't even want to know, because there was a moment where I was in the bathroom, and, you know, when you're getting ready to shower, you don't want them to show something.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, camera's up. And so...
That's what you say, camera's up.
Yeah. So I'm telling them, okay, I'm going to go shower now. Close the the door to the bathroom as if it even fucking matters. There's a camera in the bathroom too. Close the door to the bathroom. So you're like, okay. And the camera goes, it's like this. Like, okay. And so then I'm like, you know, taking off my clothes, whatever. And there's like a half bath situation going on. Because apparently in Manchester, they can't afford full shower doors.
Like a half shower door in the...
It's like a tub and then like a half shower. That doesn't even go all the way up to the ceiling. So there's water spewing out from every direction. But whatever. You're just like, we're all getting wet in here.
Hey, Manchester, what's up with that?
I don't get it.
DMS.
I don't get it. And so like I'm walking into the shower and the camera is like, it's already going down. And I'm like, no, wait, I'm not in the shower
yet. When it's coming down, it's like, you know, it's like... Getting ready to film.
Yeah, it's already filming. It doesn't stop. So even when it's up, it's still recording. It's just recording the ceiling.
Oh my god! It's like,
and I'm like, no, please stop. And you can hear it. It's the sound that I was like, no, stop. And the water wasn't even hot yet, so the door, the half door, wasn't like misty.
So
you could just see all of it.
Oh my god!
And then
so you're just standing there with the cameras on you.
And they're like, oh, sorry. And I'm just like, what do you mean?
There was a voice that said, oh, sorry?
Yes.
I have to just say this. I would not poop the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Pooping was such an issue for me. I'm going to be honest with you. I get poop shy.
Yeah.
So anytime you poop,
and
you have
to. It's recording the sound the whole time.
You want to know what I did? Okay.
Yeah.
They hated me for this because I knew how to turn the mic pack off. It's not that hard. You just look at them when they're turning it on.
Right.
And so I would take them, I would turn off my mic pack and leave it outside the bathroom. And they'd be like, Savannah, can you not do that? And I'm like, no.
I have to poop.
Like, I have to poop.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you guys
Wait,
out.
Why would they want to listen to that?
They were, yeah, that's.
I don't know. I think they just don't want you taking it off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't get it either.
So the sound, the only sound they get is from your mic pack, or do they have
no, like, there's booms? There's microphones in the bathroom too. There's hidden microphones too and like planters.
Oh.
So if anytime you see like a Netflix show, there's like definitely like microphones.
You
in
can't
there.
Fart. I mean, you can.
Or you fart in the plant. You're like, just to make it fun. Just spice things.
Someone's
up
just
a bit.
Sitting backside. Like,
when I was in a girl band when I was 12.
Oh. Nicole used to be in a girl band.
Cute.
We would have those like headphone mics.
Yes.
And they would play out the speakers.
Uh-huh.
And the girl in the band who was only 6 years old went to the bathroom with her mic on while we were all on stage. And she was just peeing, but like we're singing and all of a sudden like to the background of the music, there's just like pee.
No.
Yeah, that's literally what it sounded like for them, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable. I mean, I did poop in there, though.
What if like, better. They own all that footage. So what if one day they just make a compilation of, like, everyone pooping from the circle?
Yeah.
Or, like, everyone
and, like, put
farting.
It on, yeah. Ooh.
Honestly, that would be so freaking funny. I would be, like, the majority of it. I'm positive about it.
Also, like, that's such a great villain story. Okay, hear me out. Like, let's say your biggest enemy or, like, someone you don't even know, like, is a self-proclaimed enemy of Sav. And they're like, ooh, I hear she's going in the circle. I'm going to apply to be a producer. And then they're in charge of all of your footage. And they have an alias so they don't have to use their real name. And in secret, they can take all that person's secret footage and then blackmail them.
That would be... amazing.
I mean, Nicole, you just gave away your best idea. Someone, you have to immediately register that
copyright.
With the Writers Guild.
Copyright. Nicole is going to write it with me.
Yeah, that's you heard it here first. You heard it here first.
If you guys have a movie idea, I'll write it for you.
Nicole will write
it
for you.
No matter what it is.
DM us your movie ideas. wait, but Nicole, you said that we said that you'd be good on the circle. And you know, in the beginning,
you'd be so good.
You'd be so good. And you have to have, like, in the introduction, when they introduce everyone, they always give, like, a tagline or they say something about themselves, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, you said the cool thing. This is all I remember from your intro. Yeah. It was, I know how to put a bitch in place in a nice way.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the nicest way possible.
In the nicest way possible.
Something.
Yeah.
Mine would be, like, I'm skilled at psychological warfare. I did get hit up by the circle. Like, they weren't like, hey, come be on the show. They, like, asked if I wanted to, like, do an interview or whatever. And I was like, way too scared. Like, I'm not as brave as you because I feel like I'm afraid to show who I am.
Yes. You don't have to be who you are. You can have been someone else.
But then when they are like pressing you.
Yeah.
I would snap halfway through the first day. Like,
yeah, same.
They're like, what's your name? Yeah. I don't know. Never mind.
And now that I'm hearing all this stuff, I'm like, oh my God, holy shit. They don't tell you that. They don't tell you this.
Oh, they don't tell you a lot. A lot. All of it was like a lot. It was just a lot to deal with. I think if I did do the circle again, which I wouldn't, but if I did, I would probably do it with someone else, Courtney, or I would have like a friend in the room with me, because two heads put together in a room, not bad. You could talk to your friend, you could get opinions off your friend, but when you're by yourself in that room, I don't know, like maybe it's just me because I'm crazy. Like, my mind will go places.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. Yeah.
What would you do, another reality show? Is there your dream? What's like a dream show? I watch them all.
I actually never wanted to be a reality TV star. Respectfully, as I have so much, the utmost respect for reality TV stars who pursue that career, because it is not easy.
Yeah.
But I never wanted it for myself. It was merely a way for me to stay busy during a time where everyone was locked inside. Mm-hmm. And I don't like the idea of doing like a dating show per se, because unless I was The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm going to be fighting for a man. I don't do that on the streets, okay? But I'll let them fight for me. Hey.
Yeah.
Come over here, boys.
Oh, my God. You would be an amazing bachelorette.
Yes, I would actually kill it. But again, I don't think.
But you'd have to go on The Bachelor first.
That part.
That part is the bad part.
Yeah. Unless they just like wanted someone, but I doubt it. But stop Asian hate, okay? Hey, we need an Asian, so.
Make Savannah the next Bachelorette. Or
that
let's
would be
start
awesome.
A competition. No, petition.
I like Let's all compete.
We already know that we would never be chosen.
Why?
What if they had the three of us on there and like no guys showed up? Like, where are they all?
We'd be like, all right, let's have a slumber party.
Based on Alina's flirting techniques, I think it would go really well. Alina just berates men at bars.
Do you really?
Well, you know, I hate when they come in with a poor excuse to talk to you. I just want them to keep it real.
Me too. Me you know? Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite is when it's like, oh, my friend thinks you're cute. I'm like, then why didn't your friend come over here?
Right. See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then why is your friend not here? Oh, wow. I'm like, your imaginary friend?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you guys, we're going to be right back after this brief message from our incredible sponsors.
With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Subscribe to HelloFresh and check save money off your fall to-do list. HelloFresh is 25% cheaper than takeout and less expensive than grocery shopping, too. With HelloFresh, ingredients travel from the farm to your doorstep in less than 7 days, so you know they're fresh. Plus, pre-portioned ingredients make cooking a snap and cut down on food waste. I'm having so much fun cooking my HelloFresh meals. I don't have to even think about dinner, and it's so quick and so easy. Go to HelloFresh.com/awkward65 and use code awkward65 for 65% off plus free shipping. That's awkward65. And thank you, HelloFresh, for sponsoring this episode.
Wow. Ooh, what a doozy.
Ooh, that was so much good information in that ad. You just heard.
Sav, let's get into the nitty gritty of your awkward stage, which starts with, where did you grow up?
I grew up here, in Los Angeles. I was actually born on this street.
On Sunset Boulevard?
On Sunset Boulevard. I don't know if your audience knows where you record, but
they record
on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, okay. We're the real deal.
Yeah, the real deal.
On Wednesdays at midnight.
This is the exact address. Just kidding.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so you've lived in L.A. your whole life?
I grew up in so my parents were separated from like literally the beginning, and my dad lived in El Sereno and my mom lived in the San Gabriel Valley. So I would split time between the two. So I was in both.
Yeah.
But I went to college in the valley, in the other valley, Cal State Northridge.
Shout out Northridge.
Yeah. And then I
lived. Shout out Northridge.
You know the song, Got a Bad Bitch. She go to Northridge. She always wear Gucci, but she can't afford it. That's my school.
Oh, yeah. That's about you?
It's that, about me. No, it's not about me.
The song is about you.
I wish.
You're even more famous than we thought.
No, so yeah, I grew up there. I live on the west side now, so it's nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so what kind of kid were you?
I was so rambunctious and probably really annoying. I asked way too many questions and talked way too much.
I don't think there's such a thing. Like, asking questions is a good thing, especially as a kid exploring the world.
No, it's annoying when a kid's like, why? But why?
Yeah, that was me. My first word was like, why? My mom, I don't know if it was actually my first word, but my mom likes to joke around and say that my first word was why.
That's funny.
But that's probably a testament to how annoying I was.
Why? Explain this to me, Mom.
I don't know why. A lot of my Instagram feed is like parenting advice, and I'm not a parent and I'm nowhere close to a parent, but I think I was researching a lot of wedding stuff for my wedding, and now they're like, looks like next step is babies for you.
We got you.
And all of the parenting advice is like, you can never say to your kids, because I said so. But it's like, if a kid says why enough times.
At what point, though?
At what point do you just say, because I said so? Shut up. Yeah. Eat a carrot.
I think after like the fourth or fifth why, I think that's a safe space.
I think we should just make that a rule, like on this podcast for everyone. Okay. After the fourth why, you can say, because I said so, to your kid. And that's our parenting advice.
Okay, so you were like super annoying.
So you were one of those kids.
And because we recorded this episode before, I know that you moved schools a lot.
Oh, yes. So because my parents were separated, I moved schools pretty often, more often than the normal child. In third grade, there was a really bad custody battle going on. And I actually went to like 10 different schools in third grade alone. So I actually don't really know my times tables. Don't ask me.
Wait, that's so impressive, because like, also, how are there even 10 schools in your vicinity?
Remember, like, they lived in two different cities, so there was a lot to choose from.
Yeah,
also just the paperwork that goes into that. Do you have to go, like, do your parents have to go and interview, like, go to the principal every
Apparently
time?
Like, not.
We have a kid.
Would they
wants
just
to
drop you
here?
Off at random schools and be like, tell them you go here now.
That's what it felt like. I wouldn't doubt it. But yeah, I mean, it made for making a lot of friends, and it made me really good at learning how to blend in and assimilate into a space. I feel like I could talk to a wall nowadays. So, you know, the glass is half full, but it sucked at the time because it made me not want to make friends. Like, I kind of knew by the fourth or fifth school that I probably wasn't going to be there next week anyways. So I would just be a raging bitch. They'd be like, can I borrow a pencil? I'm like, no.
You just show up with like sunglasses and headphones and it's like, don't talk to me. We're not going to be friends. I'm not going to be in your life for long. They were like, she's intense.
I have a Tito's bottle in my backpack. Yeah.
I wonder how many kids from all those schools have that story about that new kid that came for a week, disappeared, and now she's famous on social media.
I never thought about that.
Like, how many people remember you? And they're like, this girl, she came in like a wrecking ball and she left 1 week later, and we all were thinking about her for years.
Oh my
And now she's famous.
I've never thought about that, but I don't think I'm famous. I think like, I have a little bit of online fame, but I don't think like I'm...
Yeah, but like if you were to like...
Like, do they even know me?
Yeah, I mean, well, if they were to like discover you.
Yeah, oh, maybe.
Then be like, oh my God, that's that girl that disappeared.
And
then,
she still has my pencil.
And then like, and then someone on the next table is like, wait, she disappeared on me too. What school did you go to? And then it's like 10 people.
Oh my God, maybe I'm just like this
schools.
Mysterious being.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh, I kind of like this.
If any of you went to one of Sav's 10 schools.
In third grade.
We want to hear from you.
Yeah, DM us an awkward story.
Yeah.
Do I have an awkward story? You know, I want to say that I do have an awkward story from this time period, but it was so traumatizing. I think I actually blocked out a lot of what happened.
Yep.
As sad as that is, but I don't remember a lot from
Well, time. There were a lot of memories.
Except not knowing math.
Yeah.
That's the only one that I don't.
You don't need it.
Yeah. No, I don't use
math. Attention, children. You don't need it.
You don't need it.
Yeah. Fuck math.
School's for losers. No. Okay, so you do have an awkward story?
Oh, yeah. I have a lot. I was a very awkward child. I know it may seem like I came out perfect.
It does.
It does.
But these are the stories we need. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we look at you and you're perfect and you have a perfect social media feed and we need to know.
No, so awkward. I have literally so many awkward stories. Okay, wait. I'm trying to think.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. When I'm starting a new project, I find it so easy to get bogged down in the obstacles. And when an obstacle presents itself, it feels like, okay, that's it, we're done, instead of focusing on the solutions. And it can be really difficult to switch your brain into problem-solving mode when you do have a challenge. A therapist can help you become a better problem solver and help you switch your brain into finding solutions so it's easier to accomplish your goals. I've recently started going to therapy because of my sister, and it's so nice to have someone listen to you who believes you and can provide you with some tools to make it through uncomfortable situations, some tools to handle stress and emotional healing and help with anxiety and depression and things like that. If you're thinking about giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's entirely online, which is very convenient. It's affordable, and you can switch therapists at any time. When you want to become a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/awkward today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/awkward. AWKWARD. Thank you, BetterHelp, for sponsoring this episode.
Yeah. Okay. I think the first awkward story that comes to mind is one time I was very young in elementary school, and there were days where we were assigned seats, and then there were moments where we were not. So we were coming back in from like recess or something, and we didn't have assigned seats, and so I took the opportunity to try to sit next to my crush at the time. And I had a lot of cheese that day. It was, like, after lunch. I had, like, a grilled cheese, I think, or something. And
I love this setup.
I, like, raced to the seat next to him. You know, I was, like, elbowing people. Move, bitch. And then I got to the seat so excited, right? I, like, sat down. I was trying to be all cute.
Yeah.
I was
like, aww. Did he, hey. Like, look over or something?
No, he never recognized me ever. But you know what? Who's laughing now? Tristan. Yeah. And so we're sitting there, and it's deadass so quiet in the room. I think we're waiting for our teacher to like instruct, and I sneeze, but I also fart. And so it just happened all so fast, and he giggles, so I know he heard.
Oh no. That was when he noticed you.
That's when he noticed me.
He noticed your fart.
So do you think it's possible your sneeze covered your fart?
No. Okay. No, he definitely heard both. So loud. It was so embarrassing. I have never forgotten it. I've also never told this story anywhere.
Yes, we have it.
Guys, should I tell my story again?
I think you have to.
I think you also have a tutor story, do you not? I feel like you do.
Okay, this is a story that I've also never told anyone that is a lot like this story. When I was in high school, one of the gym electives that you could take was yoga.
Ooh, that's fancy.
Yeah,
what high school did you go to?
It was a Massachusetts public school, but like one of the gym teachers got like really into like alternative gym classes. So she was teaching salsa dancing, and then she was teaching self-defense, and she was teaching yoga.
Wow, I hope she's still doing that today. That's awesome.
That sounds amazing.
After this, she might have quit. So we were like in where your like legs are in the air. The happy baby.
Happy baby.
Wait, describe that to me.
It's like this. It's that one when you're like this.
For those of you just listening, Sav just got on her back and she put her legs above her head.
I did my happy baby. I'm a yogi.
It's basically just like crutch to the air.
So like missionary, but not.
Yeah. Like missionary, but by yourself.
Yeah.
So my legs are up in the air and I feel my vagina suck in air. Which,
like, why is that exact? I know exactly that feeling. Like, I feel it just you talking about
like you
it.
Feel,
I'm currently sucking in air.
You move in one certain way, and you feel a gust of air enter your vaginal cavity, your canal, if you will. And there's no thing that can happen in this situation besides the air coming out.
Eventually.
You have...
And because why? Because there's no such thing as, let's all say it together,
queef control. I had no idea what you were going to say.
Like, we're, so, you know, because you can control a fart, but
in, you can't control
it in your butthole.
No
but
one is strong it. Enough. No one has the...
No one can control
it. No one can clench hard enough to keep a queef in forever.
Can you even do Kegel workouts to like hold a queef in? Ooh. Is that even no. a thing?
No, queefs have like a mind of their own. Know. Also, air is not supposed to be in there. It wants to get out immediately.
Yeah, it doesn't.
So I'm in my own solo missionary with air in my vaginal cavity. And you know it's coming out, right? Like, so yeah. A room full of quiet yoga students, boys, girls, the frickin' teacher. And it's like, it's time to come down from the pose. Oh, and no. All I'm thinking in my head is maybe it won't be that bad. Maybe it will slowly just creep out of me silently. I take one movement out of this happy baby and it all flies out. In the most flatulent sound you've ever heard. Okay. It's like. Joey just asked if I could make the noise and I spit on his mic. That's what you get.
Oh my God.
So.
ASMR for
everyone is silent. I just ripped the biggest what they thought was ass. I don't know what's better is if I would have announced, sorry guys, that I didn't fart, that was a queef. Or my gym teacher's face.
So funny.
My gym teacher doesn't look back. Her face just turns bright red. I can see her face is bright red. My face is bright red. And nobody ever talks about it and get it. Honestly, you guys, until Sav told that story, I had never even thought to even bring this back up.
I need to be resuscitated. God. I can't
breathe. So good.
My cheeks hurt so bad from laughing.
Moral of the story, like, if air goes in, it's coming back out. But I don't know if there's anything worse than queefing in a silent room in high school.
No. No, that's...
I don't know. Double sneezing and farting.
Sneezing and farting's a lot.
Just involuntary.
Because, you know, if you sneeze, the fart was aggressive.
It was so aggressive. And what made it worse is that he was trying not to laugh. Like, I'm here, too. I heard it, too.
I don't know if it would be better or worse if people started laughing, though. Because it was almost worse that no one even acknowledged. And I didn't have, like, a friend in the class that could be like, hey, what just happened back there?
No one just reacted?
No one reacted. And, like, if I had a friend in the class, I feel like we would have, like, left the class and she would have been like, what the fuck happened to you in there? And then we would have talked about it. But instead, I just kept it to myself.
You know, the group chats were crazy that night.
I hope no one in the class was friends with each other. I hope everyone left confused. Because if anybody was friends with each other, all they'd be talking about is, did you hear Nicole Dubois rip that ass?
Oh my God, that is so funny.
Maybe you were secretly known as Queef Girl after that incident.
I don't think people automatically think, oh, that was girl? A queef.
Mm. But doesn't the queef sound different?
No. I don't think so. Maybe to like a very trained ear, yeah. But this is high school. You know, probably to a gyno.
Maybe
sure.
To like Charlie Puth, you can like hear in the pictures.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Oh my God, that is so
funny. I mean, I think in high school I didn't even know queefs existed, you know, until they happen. I mean, they don't really happen like early on.
I have another story. Ooh. My friend that I won't say her, this is also a queef story, you guys. My friend that I won't say her name.
You're obsessed with queefing.
We were in elementary school and we were having a sleepover and she was like, guys, I learned how to fart on command. And we're like, what do you mean? She was like, do you guys want me to teach you? And we were like, I mean, obviously yes. So she's like, okay, she goes like up, like very similar to the position I was in. And she's like, okay, so what you do is you have to suck the air in. You have to like, and we were like, what do you mean suck? We're like trying to suck air in through our buttholes. And she's just farting. And it wasn't until I grew up a little bit and like sort of like went back to that core memory that I was like, oh my God, she was queefing. She was teaching us how to queef.
She was a swindler. She swindled you.
But neither of us could accomplish it. We were like, she's amazing. She's the best farter in town.
She can fart on command,
but she was just literally queefing on command.
Wow. That is so funny.
And her vagina is so strong. I told her that story because we're still friends. I told her that story once my brain like went back to that memory and figured it out. I told her that story and she was like, I have no memory of this. I was like, well, I need you to know that this is what you were doing.
Meanwhile, the guys are like, the girls are having a sleepover. She's what had do a you baby. Think they're doing?
Well, I'm sure that baby slipped right out.
No, it didn't. Oh, well, not everyone's going to know who I'm talking about. She just had a girl baby and it went very smoothly. Now you have no idea who I'm talking about. Anyways, if you had some advice for yourself at that age, what do you think you would tell yourself?
If I had advice for myself at that age, keep asking why. Ooh. Bitch, don't stop.
Yeah.
They
Bitch, would you call yourself?
Bitch.
Listen, bitch. I mean,
listen, whore.
Stupid fucking whore.
Dumb little slut.
How you talk to yourself is important, bitch. Yeah, don't stop asking why. People are going to call you annoying, whether you're quiet or you're talking a lot. So you'd rather be an annoying bitch that knows everything than a dumb annoying bitch that knows nothing.
That's great advice.
That's very wise.
Yeah.
Where can everyone find you?
You can find me on the streets. But if you don't want to go outside, you can find me at Sav Palacio across all platforms.
Nice. Guys, please DM us your awkward stories. We want to read them on the podcast.
Only the queefing ones,
though. Queef stories, please.
If you have queef stories, it's anonymous, you guys. Well, we'll know you messaged us, but we won't tell anyone else.
It's much like the producers in the circle.
Yeah. We'll see you, but no one else will. And if you like this podcast, rate us and subscribe and leave a review and tell your friends.
That what Nicole just said. And we love you. Goodbye. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.